Centaur Daddy has just different implications to it for some reason.
It does. It does.
Maybe this is just a regular run.
There's no way, right? Like, there's just no fucking way, right?
Right? You think not.
Is this running animation different and more disconcerting, or is it just me?
It can't be.
No.
Right?
Like, it just can't.
Yeah.
It just can't.
If it is, it's ludicrous.
I'm going to message Jaxer later and be like, okay, but is that run speed intentional? No context.
I apparently had just blocked out Centaur Daddy. I was just like, that didn't happen. I don't know what that was.
It totally did. To Need for Speedrunning, a podcast about video games, going fast, and friendship. My name is Ruby Hart, and my favorite digital pet was my Tamagotchi when I was growing up. Hobbs, how's it going, and what was your favorite pet growing up?
Oh, no. I was so hoping you were going to go with one of the others as soon as I heard that. Okay. Hi, I'm Hobbs. My favorite pet growing up was probably one of the Chow in Sonic Adventure 2 Battle. That was my friend's copy of the game because I didn't have a GameCube. But we spent like 20 hours perfecting the fuck out of that Chow. And they could do all the karate and all the races and beat all of their enemies.
Let's go. All right. Luigi's apartment. How's it going? And what's your favorite digital pet from growing up?
I don't know. Probably one of the... What are those things called in Phantasy Star Online? Your little buddy that's over your shoulder and you feed it monomates and trimates. And,
yeah.
And
did you have like a little Sega Genesis one?
No, mine probably didn't turn into anything cool because it was like I didn't know what I was doing. So, yeah, I just kind of like it just became a nothing thing. It didn't really help me out at all, but it was my friend.
Yeah, I have no idea what those are called, but I know what you mean.
I forget because, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, you didn't love that pet that much.
Aw.
So
now I feel bad about my love.
So today, as we talk about these digital pets, we love them, we mourn them.
What about my pet?
Yeah, I'm I was going to say, we got one more digital pet to introduce.
Sorry, of course. Brad, the wonderful, last but not least. I'm all over the place today. How's it going? And what was your favorite digital pet?
I'm good. I hurt my finger pretty good today. I almost had to go to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
But I had a Band-Aid, so we're going to just hope. I took a couple potions. We'll see how it goes. Besides that, I'm great. Feeling good today. And my favorite digital pet is from Pokemon Red. I had a Haunter that I could never evolve because when I was playing it, this was... I didn't have a link cable for a while, and so I couldn't evolve my Haunter, and his name was Boo Radley, and I loved him very much.
Also, Haunter looks so much more badass than Gengar anyways, especially in Gen 1. Haunter has always been, like, when people ask, you know, what's your favorite Pokemon? I'm like, I don't really do favorites that much, but the first Pokemon card I ever got was the Diglett, and Haunter's badass. So, like, those are my two answers generally.
Listen, Haunter may not be the absolute strongest and most optimal, but design-wise, Haunter's design slaps. Yeah,
exactly. He also, like, wrecks shop in Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah, he still does kill.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the middle Evo was, like, kind of the sweet spot in Stadium, the higher, you know, the final Evos.
Because they all level out.
Well, yeah, because the final Evos, they, like, gave weaker moves, and the starting Mons, or, you know, the beginning, the unevolved, pre-evolved forms, they gave stronger moves, so the middle ones got, like, some pretty decent moves and still had
decent
stats.
I did not
stats.
Know that. That's very interesting. Yeah.
Learned that on TFS.
I was watching that live, and I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, I think we had one time where, like, one of us got a Haunter, and, like, at some point somebody got, like, a Slowbro, and it was also – or, no, I think maybe even Slowpoke was better.
Okay.
And it was also, like, pretty good just because it was, like, psychic. Psychic is OP in Gen 1, so.
I mean, I remember cheering for Haunter, like we all said. Haunter was just cool and strong if you couldn't trade him.
What kind of ghost just gets legs all of a sudden? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Gengar.
He looks so goofy in this. Once he got Gigantamaxed in Pokemon Sword and Shield, like, then he's fucking awesome. Gengar's, like, cool again. But, like, in Gen 1, his sprite's weird and shit.
So, to get a little closer to today's topic, I have to ask, I'm going to go super far down memory lane, because the game that we're going to be talking about way later is very close to my childhood. How many of you went really far down the, like, Neopets rabbit hole?
I did. I don't remember almost anything about Neopets, but I know I played the shit out of it in elementary school. My friends and I, like a few of us, you know, you got that friend group where one of them gets too into a game, they get everybody too into the game. That's the same reason I reinstalled League of Legends the other day.
Hobbs, do you need blink twice if you need help?
Oh, no, I need therapy. Yes. But, you know, a free to play video game we'll have to do. But no, Neopets, I remember playing the shit out of it. I don't know. I seriously have, like, virtually no memory of any bits of this game whatsoever. It flooded out of my brain to make space for something actually important. But, like, I know that I probably sank tons and tons of hours into it.
I also sank way too many hours into this. And this was when I was, like, teenager. For me, it was Gaia Online and the Barton Town forums. If you used to go down that rabbit hole, you know, I was one of those weebs that would write stories and online fan fiction with other people. Like, I was that kid. No. So in, like, preteen, and in my younger years, I was the nerdiest kid. I, like, had my Sailor Moon Barbies and my Neopets account, and I loved it so much. So I was the kid that, like, wanted a Psy Bunny. That's just this adorable little bunny, but it's super rare in the game, and you can only get it under certain, like, moon seance rituals or whatever the fuck. And then, like, I got way too into this online game. And it had cute Flash games, so when I didn't have a console at the time, like, it was fun just playing a little side-scrolling Flash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I'm so confused by Neopets. It's like, one of those things that, you know, you think that Berenstain Bears is spelled multiple ways. Neopets is on, like, the edge of my memory as something that I think I've seen before. But it's a Flash game, but also you mentioned, like, is it like a Tamagotchi as well? Is it a multimedia, like, huge thing?
Yeah, kind of.
They're right around the same time as, like, Webkins.
Yeah. And, like,
these, you guys, like, are making up all these words right now.
I don't know. Like, because now I don't know if Neopets were the same way, but, like, Webkins were this pet that you could buy in the store and then scan and online, and you would have your online webcam.
Oh, yeah, like the cards, or, like, you know, like, you'd get some of those games had, like, you know, you'd get those physical cards that you got to use, like, the e-reader for or whatever, like, that kind of same kind of thing.
I mean, if we want to talk about e-reader, like, the Game Boy, like, I have that, too. Like, we can go.
But Neopets, I think, was primarily just, like, a Flash game. Like, it was a full website specifically. Like,
yeah,
it just, like, had Club Penguin. But except Club Penguin, you didn't have, like, your pet penguin.
But, like,
you had you as a penguin.
Well, so here's the breakdown. So essentially, think of it like a Pokemon game. At the very beginning, you get your little friend. It's like, awesome, great. This is your companion throughout the course of this adventure. Once you make that character, so you can pick one of, I think there were only 12 or something like that at the time, different creatures that you could have as Neopet friends, and you can choose, like, a different color, you can name them, say what kind of their behaviors are like. So think of it like getting a Pokemon, but you can make little colors. You can make your own special shiny. And then you explore this magical land by playing Flash games and going to different parts of the website. That's
different Flash games.
Yeah.
Different Flash games that are at different map parts of the website.
Yeah. Now I'm really in.
Right.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Flash games, like, I could play Flash games all day. It doesn't matter how dumb they are. If you keep giving me a new one every couple minutes, I could probably do that.
It's like the original WarioWare.
Yeah. You know what it is? Yeah. Addictinggames.com kind of was WarioWare.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was like the era of RuneScape when there was only one. But not an MMO in that sense. Like, there were, I think, ways to play with other people, kind of, but it was more of a, like, you know, they had forum pages and things like that. It was more about just, like, seeing this little JPEG on your screen change every now and then and make sure it doesn't change in a way where it's sad.
You get locked out of your account, here's the one really horrible thing that you found out about Neopets if you left for a little bit. When you came back, Neopets don't die like Tamagotchi do. They just starve and sit there. So if you ever get locked out of your account, it's just sad to think about them sitting in your inventory alone.
Oh. Well, except the thing is, it's a bunch of bits of data. So it's not.
Humans can empathize with anything, J. Hobbs. Let me have this.
That's true. Let me get a pencil and name it. Oh, crap. I wish I could have remembered the community.
Okay, but so there's like 12 base Neopets, but then you also wanted to get the Psybunny. So there's rarer Neopets. You have to win them through games.
How do you win these? Are they like tournaments? Do they have just really hard flash games?
I think the idea, and I never participated this far into it. At first, it was just kind of a random thing of chance, but there were certain events that they would have for holidays they would invent for this magical world, or things that would happen through the plot that they were dispensing, which, again, it's a rated E for everyone, not like super high level story. But for these events, you know, that's kind of when these things would be released.
All I know is I think eventually you could have Neopet pets. Mm-hmm. I think your Neopets could have pets.
Yep.
Which is just not right. It's too far. It's like just too far.
Viva pinatas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a little too far. Because like I had a coworker around this time who like got a Webkin who I think probably played Neopets. And in between like us having like lost theory conversations and like showing me her Webkins and Neopets and shit. So, like, I don't know. These things were just kind of everywhere. But see, so now we get to the point to where, like, I could talk about Flash games all damn day. We do get to, like, a point where they're releasing PlayStation games.
Yes. So this is one that I actually didn't know existed. So really quick, I want to ask you all, the actual game that we're going to be looking at is a adaptation game that was made for the PS2, which is Neopets The Darkest Fairy, released in 2004. How many people have any exposure to this game whatsoever?
It was at SGDQ at one point, and I probably saw some parts of it, but I don't think I saw the whole run.
I missed that one.
Okay. I've had this very vivid memory of one of the very early meetings when we were kind of trying to build some things out and write the script for, this was SGDQ 2023 because it was my first event. At one point, the name of this game just happened to be mentioned, and I thought it was you, Hobbs, but now tonight I've realized I was mistaken. It may have been you, it may have been other people in the call, but there were multiple voices in the room who were like, that is one of the coolest speedruns. I know it seems silly because it's Neopets, but no, you have to watch it. And it made such a huge impression that I watched parts of it at GDQ. The actual run was in like the middle of the night, so it was a hard one to catch, but when you go back and watch it, it's absolutely ridiculous. And it's by someone who has done a ridiculous amount of runs, has done Pseudo Regalia, and this and so many others. So Jaxler.
And I think I don't know if I have seen this one, but I believe I would have been in that meeting going like, oh, it's a Jaxler game. It's probably really good. Like, because Jaxler picks games with like that early 3D platformer era or games that emulate that tend to have some kind of really quirky movement to them, which is actually some of my like speedrunning roots. Like, I started with Kingdom Hearts, but the next game I did was Ratchet and Clank Up Your Arsenal, which has, we've done on the show before, like, mm-hmm. has that same kind of thing to it where, like, you don't, that game becomes a sandbox when you learn how the speedrun tricks work in it.
Mm-hmm.
So I always enjoy seeing whatever fresh hell Jaxler has thrown himself into because it usually has some kind of really interesting movement tech to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I haven't played the game itself. I've just played a lot of other games on PS2. So
well, that description kind of, and also a Jaxler game, it kind of tells me what to expect. I mean, are we just doing a bunch of different kinds of, okay, what should I be expecting? I guess. Is it a bunch of different kinds of mini games or what?
I think it's like a 3D platformer or something.
It's a 3D platformer.
Is it collectible?
Think of it very much like a old school 3D Legend of Zelda kind of game. It feels like it's trying to emulate that mixed with almost like.
Okay.
Yeah, like you were saying,
Ratchet and Clank. So Frogger the Great Adventure is what you're
talking about.
Frogger the Great Quest. Excuse me, I misspoke.
You know, right, it's okay. Hobbs.
That's what you're talking about.
A great game deserves great deference.
Yeah, this game could not be more similar to Neopets on speedrun.com. The times are not that far off. There's like the same number of runners. I'm just surprised I'm not seeing Jaxler's name.
Okay, I'm gonna be like all the same people.
They have two categories each. It's just really funny.
Okay, so yeah, just kind of 3D collect them. So I take it like a little bit of collecting, a little bit of light puzzle solving, some combat, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what I assume.
One of the things at the very beginning that I know Jaxler introduced with the two commentators at the GDQ run is, okay, I have them here to explain all of the insane stuff you are going to see. And they can manipulate and go underneath, I believe, about 70% of the map.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, they can go, they 70% of the map total, or like they're 70% of the way underneath the floor of the map?
Here's, I think.
This is a speedrun. You have to be
very important.
You know, that's fair. I'm pretty sure it's the first one, but good clarification,
okay. Luigi. That makes a lot more sense. Occam's Razor should have told me that's probably the more logical one, but you never know.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's one of those that, like, it goes from really fun and interesting gameplay that reminds me of the things I like in old Legend of Zelda and Mario runs or like Banjo-Kazooie runs. So just like fun, interesting movement and platforming, interesting combat. But the out of bounds is also really cool. As far as the names of the tricks, those I do not remember because I was sitting there with my jaw dropped for the parts that I was watching in a room that was full of people just kind of screaming at it. So
I'm getting more excited.
Yeah, I didn't get a lot of those details, but it was a lot of fun to watch the little bits that I did. So, yeah.
I'm looking at the cover. No context still. I still don't know who these characters are. Hardcore cover. I like there is some sort of an evil wolf character. There seems to be some sort of a sorceress that is reflected in the blade. And it doesn't look like a cutesy I'm raising a Flash game pet.
To be fair,
I don't get that.
This is what like every PS2 game cover looked like, though, for a random
it's
licensed
true. It
game.
Is true. It is a mood. Yeah.
Needs to look like a mascot game.
They're like, we gotta be serious, everybody. We have to take Neopets very seriously.
Give Kirby the angry eyebrows.
Well, and on top of that, like, take some of the creatures, because I'm pretty sure the dog is a version of one of, like, the dog pets you could have. So being like, what if they... It's like taking your dog
that
and being
dog
like, what
wasn't
if we dress
fed?
It up as Link? What if we took this dog and made it a gladiator? Like, all right, PlayStation. Like, we can calm down.
Ruby, this is what happens when you don't feed your dog for like years at a time. It gets very angry and turns into angry dog.
I thought that was Sif. But well, that's what happens when you kill its master in the past. I got it.
Listen, I didn't come here to be attacked about the Neopets I left behind. I just came here to recount the tales.
It's still out there right now.
Listen, I've tried to recover that password. You don't know how many times I have
Oh, no.
It's on a server in I don't know, Ashburn, Virginia, somewhere.
Is it?
This is Black is Mirror.
No, it's probably somewhere. Not. It's on a server at the bottom of the ocean. Somebody
that could be
that
a Black
thing.
Mirror episode, like the pet that you were raising as a kid that you forgot about, and you rekindle your relationship 20 years later.
Oh,
somebody get Brian David Gilbert on it.
Yeah.
Please. Oh, I want to see BDG's version of that Black Mirror episode. That would be incredible. I will say, for a game like this, they could have absolutely gone the more Pokemon-esque route, since when you That's make the character, it very much feels like choosing a Pokemon, but I think they could go that route. Yeah.
PS2 era, and especially for console games in at that time, that just wasn't what you made a 3D collect-a-thon platformer with some puzzle elements in it. Like, that's what you made when you made a game, or you made an action game where, you know, you're just playing whatever movie just came. You're making Iron Man or whatever, and you're making a shitty action game. You make Looper, or not Looper, Jumper.
Yeah, let's not get carried away here, Ruby, okay? This is a PlayStation 2 game, all right? Now, it's a very formulaic thing we've got here.
We gotta separate ourselves massively from Nintendo. We can't be doing no Pokemon shit. Now put that dog in a tunic and give him a sword.
Then do you want to make art or do you want to make money? Welcome to the PlayStation 2.
Oh my god, I had never fully thought about it like that, just because I grew up so young around the time that I was playing PlayStation 2 and N64 GameCube games that I wasn't thinking about it from the mechanical standpoint. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Seeing the bigger picture when you're older.
Hobbs is right. It's definitely a mood. It's definitely like an era. Mm-hmm. Like we had Borderlands on in the house the other day. We're playing the first game, and it just like, man, there are just so many things I can say about all the games that came out around the time this game. Like, this is it's an era now. This thing I lived through is like, this is just the brown FPS era.
Yep. I was going to say Borderlands stood out specifically because it was the color, the splash of color in the brown FPS era of the PS3, like the early, you know, PS3, Xbox 360 era.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, we have the kind of, you know, okay, you got Mario games and then Banjo games, and now everyone, you know, Spyro or whatever. Everyone's like, this is the console of, like, it's almost like all the PS1. It's just like another era of PS1 games. Because
for PS2, they were still kind of looking for that like permanent mascot, and everybody was trying to vie to be that, or at least that's what the developers thought. Or like, if I make, you know, the next hit cute creature, like that is kind of appealing to furries, like maybe I could be the mascot that gets licensed by Sony forever. You know?
I'm so glad I didn't take a sip of water at that exact moment.
I mean, we're about to watch Neopets, all right? Like, let's call a spade here.
No, I love it. Also, I will say, I wanted to pull up just a plot synopsis of Darkest Fairy.
Oh, please, because I doubt we'll see any of it.
No, here's the issue.
There's a lot.
If you look at the Wikipedia page, there is no simple, like, elevator pitch. It is a, like, 10-paragraph someone trying to describe their fanfiction.net to their best friend and
see,
ranting
and now
about
that
it.
That's not the PS2 era. That's the Neopets era. Like, that's the Neopets influence coming in. That's such
We've
a, like,
we've got to fit every single internet reference in.
Yeah, that's, like, a very 90s internet thing of, like, yeah, you play this game where you click on, like, three buttons, and it just, you know, does 17 different minigames, but it's still the same three buttons. But the lore is 300,000 words long. And it's
For no reason.
Yeah, for no reason other than we have to keep making content for these goddamn
children. We gotta do something.
Children.
It's like, eventually your Flash website, you know, whether it's just about cutesy animals or Homestar Runner and really idiotic cutesy animals, it's just nothing but a bunch of dumb Flash games and things to click on, but the lore becomes, like, unwieldy.
Because it's what you have. You're really, right, like, what you can do is write a whole bunch of dialogue or write a whole bunch of lore.
Just make more in-jokes.
It's a lot harder to make a new game and to make a new minigame.
And, just skimming through, it feels like important details are Hero is a farm boy who dreamt of being a knight, becomes one to save the day. That's what we need to know. Yeah. So, Luke, so again, hero.
Link.
Yay. Loop, Link, huh? What? No.
What?
It couldn't be similar.
Lauk.
Lonk? Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Not,
yeah.
Lonk.
No, no. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, now I want every time there is a Legend of Zelda incentive for Loop to be one of the options.
Mm-hmm. And Luke. And now that we've mentioned Link this episode, I can put Jay Hobbs as Link in the thumbnail again.
Yes. We should go with Luke.
We hit our quota.
Luke Skywalker's whole thing is he's just a farm boy who looks to the stars. So it's
yeah, whatever.
Throw me in some Jedi robes.
Nah, we're good.
All right.
Nah, he's a whiner. You don't want that.
That's fair.
Hobbs, what were you playing while you were away?
Yes. Let's do a bit of this.
Of course, delving deep back into the Sonic Adventure 2 Battle Chao breeding system because it's very complex. You see, there's like this whole full genetics with like DNA system in place where the parent heritage, like all the ancestors matter for like what the child is going to end up creating. It is wild. There's mutations and everything.
Yes.
No, but what I've actually been doing. It's really just a lot.
I want to say real quick, I probably have a shitload of coins on my Sonic Adventure, Sonic Advanced 1 or 2, whichever one I have. Yeah, you get some resources. I guess I could drive over there. It'd be a really long drive, but, you know, whatever.
We'll make it work. We'll figure it out. We'll just make a really long cable.
Right. Oh, that would work.
We'll just talk to everybody, then every, like, 4 miles and just be like, hey, can you make the next 4 miles of cable and link it up to the next person?
Link cables across America.
Yeah, this is like a 1930s reel of like the transcontinental link cable.
Yeah.
Now you can battle your friends in New York.
Be part of something greater than yourself. The truest battle.
Get that Gengar finally.
Get your hands off my Hanta.
But yeah, no, I all I've really been doing is the KH2 Randomizer League has been going on. We had a like set of qualifiers. I did okay in those. I don't think I did that hot in them. And then we did a Swiss round, which was to kind of like it was our full like actual qualifying round, which basically is it's kind of like round robin, but you don't play everybody. But it's just basically you play a whole like 5 different matches is what we did. Did surprisingly well in those. So I got into the top 16 bracket, double elimination bracket now.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, lost my first round match. I had just a few too many deaths. I was within 2 minutes, though, which for a randomizer of, you know, Kingdom Hearts 2 is quite close. Without the deaths, I could have taken that one away.
You know.
But I'm excited. I'll be in loser's bracket now. If I win my next match and my buddy Adam loses his next match, then we face up in the loser's bracket and one of us gets to eliminate the other for all the bragging rights. And that's really what it's all about at the end of the day.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
I don't really care about getting to the end. I just wanted to face either Adam or Spike and be able to knock one of them out, hopefully.
Right.
So that that's I can lord it over about. Them until the next year. So that's what I've been up to. Getting revenge on my friends who have done nothing wrong.
But they had it coming.
They know.
But they had it coming.
They know what they did.
They know what they did.
I've just been playing way too much more of the Tunic Randomizer because it's amazing.
Okay.
I also found out, because Brad, I know you love your props, that Fangamer has a exact replica of the instruction booklet. Ooh,
that's adorable. That's
beautiful.
It's absolutely awesome. Gorgeous.
I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm. And I have a bunch of my speedrun notes that I'm going to be putting inside of the memo section.
Awesome.
So I've been very much obsessed with that. But when I haven't been doing that, I actually have been doing a lot less focus on speedruns the last few weeks and a lot more on making pearlers. After, oh, yeah. Yeah, after doing a bunch of prize segments over the years, what am I talking about? Over the course of the past few
events. In my younger times.
Over the course of the past few events, getting to do prizes has been really cool, and getting to see Pearlers up close, I was like, I need a craft when I'm trying to heal and I'm just going to be in this studio all day with my foot.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
You've reached the knitting phase of the injury.
I've reached the knitting phase of the injury, but I'm going to tilt acceptance. This down right. to show, or let me just show you all some of these. So I just made a bunch of different Pokeballs.
Oh, the heart. That heart's really yes. good.
Oh, they look
is that a heart incredible. Ball? What's the heart?
Yeah,
the
so this love is ball, a,
I think.
It's a heel ball.
Oh, heel ball. That's what it is. That's right. I forgot the name.
Oh, that's probably better than what I initially thought.
Pokeball, and then...
Yeah, when's Pokemon making a horny ball so that when you throw it at them, they're more likely to breed quickly?
They don't need any help. So
that,
yeah,
you, that way you don't need to leave them in the daycare forever. They'll start churning out those eggs as quickly as possible.
Right. Yep. That's what we know. That's what we want.
So the big thing, I finished making this Pokeball prize pack and was trying to figure out what to do next. And I found something beautiful and cursed online still going with the Pokemon theme. So
it's adorable.
Oh, no.
This is a very... I feel bad for our listeners because this is... You're not... You know what? That should be the thumbnail. We should put this on the thumbnail, Brad.
Can one of you just describe what this looks like? Because I found the art as like a pixel pattern online, and it was to use for embroidery. And I was like, this is too perfect.
I believed... Like, I think what I said when you showed it to me was like, it's the most... Like, man, that is an unfortunate Cyndaquil, but, like, him's trying.
It's like he's low on fire and he's trying to push more out.
Oh, God. This is a Cyndaquil whose like, father was a Slowpoke, for sure. But, like, everything else about him is a Cyndaquil. It's just that his dad was a Slowpoke, and that's what it is.
So
yeah, Hobbs, you're not going to get out of the thumbnail that easy.
Damn it.
But I'm for, no, we'll I like this
we'll
idea.
Have that link riding this Cyndaquil. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm down.
Perfect. So yeah, that's what I've been up to is like I took a break from speedrunning to go way too far down the Pearler and Tunic rabbit hole. What about y'all, Luigi, Brad?
I'm doing the final battle of Unicorn over there.
I was
going
to say, how are you trying? Yes. I could see the gears turning in your head of like, how do I package the fact that I'm still playing Unicorn Overlord into new words?
Because what I've actually been doing the last couple weeks is playing a fuckload of Splatoon 3.
Ah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they hit me with an update one day. Like, I guess this new season started, but they're like, Look at all this fresh gear you can have for the spring. Like, it's all like spring themed gear. Do you want this stuff? I was like, yeah, I really do. I really want to look fresh.
Luigi got hit with the ad in Cosmo. It said the fall's hottest fashion or spring. I guess spring's hottest fashions from the latest designers.
All this. All you need to do is give my Squid Kid some cool shit to put on. It's a lot of like neon or pastel stuff, but like it works. And I started using a smaller Gatling gun, but it's a Gatling gun, which I've never, ever, ever, ever used. I've played Splatoon 1, 2, and 3. And it's like, it doesn't have a huge charge up time. It's very quick. So I, for whatever reason, that seems to work for me. And I've just been murdering people left and right. And yes. Then playing a lot with Tiffy and their roller and just, you know, having two people, even if like the only thing you say is like you say like two words to one another during a match, it's still like a huge advantage as opposed to not having those
it's
two
like
words.
It's like playing Pokemon Unite when it came out for a couple weeks. Just
yes.
Playing in a voice call with people. It's like. Which dunking on kids.
Dunk the ball.
Yeah.
Here I come. I'm bringing Snorlax up top.
One of the few games like NBA Street Volume 2 where you could literally dunk on kids. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I played a little bit of Unite for like that weekend.
Yeah.
like 20 hours yeah. that weekend.
I said I was going to play it for 2 weeks and be done, and I played it for 3 weeks. So, you know, it was pretty fun.
Ooh, okay.
All
it
right.
was fun. It was dumb. But yeah, a lot of Splatoon. I went through and I'm doing the single player. We had the Splatfest. All right, get with me on this. The Splatfest. It's what's the cutest fluffy baby? Baby chicks, little bunnies, or bear cubs?
Ooh. Oh, the baby bunnies.
I think bear cubs.
I was going to say chicks.
Okay. All right. All right. This is a split, I guess. I didn't think I little bunnies. Like, I don't know how you can not go with buns, but
bunnies is definitely second for me. But I think bear cubs are just like, because you know that eventually they're going to fuck up everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the only time they can be super cute. And so it's like, okay, extra cute.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, that's I was baffled when it was as close as it was, and now I see with the small unscientific sampling that I have just taken. Yeah, okay, never mind.
If I may,
I take it back.
I lived on a property that had baby bunnies at one point, and getting to just like have a hoodie backwards and the little hood filled with like three bunnies that want to snuggle you for a month.
Oh, that's adorable.
They're so cute. Also, way cleaner than baby chicks, as much as baby chicks are adorable.
Sure.
Oh my God.
Mm, I see that. Yeah. Birds just, you know, there's something like, I don't know. Maybe little ducks. Maybe baby duckies, but
speaking of babies.
Yes.
Carly and I did baby goat yoga the other day, actually.
I thought this was going in a completely different direction.
Son of a
holy
bitch.
Shit. You fucking
and we're having
asshole.
A child. No.
You just baited everybody.
And we're having a kid. We need goat milk.
We did baby goat yoga.
You can't be a married man, especially a newly married man, and say Speaking of babies, like, you can't do that.
Every one of our
Carly
every one of
and
our
I.
Christmas, every one of our Christmas cards, it'll say, like, we know everyone's wondering when our family's going to get a little bigger, and we're very happy to announce
our new dog.
Martin and Pickles are doing great. Yeah. No, baby goat yoga was fun. That was pretty wild.
They're lighter
than you'd think. But as far as what I've been playing, I completed Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Nice.
The game wound up being about 102 hours, and that's a hefty game. A lot of content, more mini games than anything I've probably ever played, even than Neopets.
So it's true to the original FF7. The original FF7, yeah. I just remember being all mini games, and then some combat showed up at the end.
Yeah. Oh man.
So I'm not missing out.
What's that?
So I'm not missing out on anything.
There is so many mini games. Three of them are really good.
It's FF7. It's the original FF7. Because when I played that game, I was like, dude, why does everybody love this game? It's a bunch of really shitty mini games and two good ones. Like,
it's interesting. No. I don't know. The game is, they're all very optional. And after
not
beating it once, if I did another playthrough and I just focused on story, because I would skip all that side stuff, the game would immediately go down to like 40 hours. If I skipped every cutscene, it would go down to, you know, 20 hours. And it's interesting. So you go, there's like chapter replay mode. There are actually really a lot of awesome options after you beat the game to go back and look at stuff. And they give you a lot more information.
That's cool.
So I missed part of one thing in one chapter. And it's really fun playing it like with a speedrun mentality. Skip cutscene, move forward. And just, you can quickly see the bones of what you're doing and what's expected of you.
If I had done that in Unicorn Overlord, I probably would have been a lot better off and have gotten through that game faster. Skip cutscene. Sorry.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, it's and it was a great game. It's going to be tough to beat that for my game of the year. I have almost beaten all of Balatro, and I guess that's a really, how do you quantify it? I have almost unlocked every single thing. There's two Joker cards I haven't unlocked. Otherwise, I've done a lot.
It's the Vampire Survivor rules of beating a game.
I thought the exact same thing.
I've unlocked everything.
The goalposts, I move it a little further each time. It's kind of like with Hades, too, where, you know, I beat it 10 times. What else do I need to do? I need to unlock this. Do I want to get all of the furniture? Well, yeah, I like furniture. I mean,
Brad, that reminds me. I don't want to, like, get too far on a tangent here, but so my girlfriend got into the Hades 2 technical test. So I did get a chance to play it.
I don't
want
to hear about it.
I won't really say anything big about it, but I will just say, like,
Know that you're gonna. There's gonna be a lot more Jay Hobbs' link if you spoil something.
I'm not gonna spoil anything. No, no, no. But okay. I'm just like, I just felt so good to play Hades again, and like, especially with it being a new experience. It's kind of like, it's so far from what I've done, the little bit that I've done, I was like, this is exactly what I would have wanted out of a sequel of this. Like, it feels like good. More of the similar, you know, not more of the same exactly, but more of the similar. Like, it's got all okay. the parts I want, and it's, mm-hmm. but it's just different. And that's like,
that's good to hear.
Yeah, that's exactly what I would want out of a sequel like that. I feel like it's really, mm-hmm. if you don't do that and you're just like, it's just the same, but like more levels or whatever, you know, like just more of the same. And it's like, okay, should have made a DLC. If it's totally different, it's like, okay, that's great. But, you know, I really liked all that stuff about the original one. It feels appropriately different, but similar, which I wasn't sure I was even going to like play any of it. But then once she started playing, I heard like some Darren Korb kicking in. I was like, I got to come watch you. And then she yeah. finally was like, do you want to try run? I got through one run. Like, I beat the amount of content that was there at the time. But yeah, I thought I was maybe going to hold off until the full release and not play at early access. But there's no way now. Like, there's just no way. I'm definitely playing at early access. And I knew I was going to cave anyways, but totally doing that.
I'll probably wait.
I saw the technical test stream that they put up, and I watched 10 seconds of it, and they're like, what's cool about these enemies and this god? And I said, fuck off. Yeah. I cannot look at this.
And that's how I normally am. Like, I am normally, I'm so vehemently, like, want to go into an experience with absolutely no info. But something about, yeah. like, I think because I know this game is coming out in early access, and that, like, because of my group of friends and everything, it will probably be extremely hard for me to avoid literally everything about it. I think on this mm-hmm. specific yeah. case, yeah. I think I'm just going to jump right in and enjoy the early access and see how things progress over time. Because that is also an experience and I didn't get out of the first game. I played that game well after it came out, so.
Okay. I hate search algorithms, because I wasn't looking for Hades 2 stuff. And just an article that said Hades 2 Gods Explained mm-hmm. or whatever. I'm like, and I saw a partial list of some of the featured boons, and I was like, I don't want
yeah.
to do that.
Yeah.
Before I saw the final episode of Shogun, I saw a spoiler for that episode. I was like, come on now,
yeah. people. It's wild. I there are times where I have to sit there and I'm like, do I tell Google I'm not interested in Spider-Man just so that Spider-Man doesn't show up?
Because I'm really interested in Spider-Man. But I feel like I'm lying.
I am interested in Spider-Man. I just don't want to know anything until this movie comes out and I have seen it.
Send me more pictures
because
of Spider-Man.
It's just going to send you all the articles that spoil everything.
Exactly.
And you can't avoid it. It's
That's like
so
half the reason I go and see movies early after they come out is not out of like any sense of, you know, FOMO or anything. I just don't want to fucking see the articles the next 3 days that are going to be like, everyone's seen it now, so we're just going to spoil shit in the title. I've trained my eyes yeah. to when they see a certain configuration of red and black lines, they just start scrolling faster.
Now Spooderman. Is there another one of those Spooderman movies coming?
Eventually.
There's 10 more Spoodermans coming.
Well, but when? Also, is there one coming soon? Do I need to worry about it?
Spider-Man 4 has not like,
anytime
even,
soon.
I think they like have maybe barely started talks, so no.
Okay.
Across the Spider-Verse Part 2
that is,
will be coming.
Yeah, that'll be the next one. Beyond the Spider-Verse, which I'm so fucking excited mm-hmm. for. I know we've gone on a massive tangent here, but like, across the first 5 or 7 minutes of Across the Spider-Verse are some of my favorite minutes in any movie ever. And so I'm very excited for Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Wholeheartedly agree. And considering you are a Spider-Man speedrunner,
yeah.
I feel like it's still all is connected. It's connected in the multiverse. It's
That's
fine.
True.
And does anyone have anything they want to get out of the way before we get to the run? I would like to say that the story in Unicorn Overlord is really bad, and I hate it. Other than that, it's my favorite game of the year and probably will be for a very long time.
Oh, so it's like Octopath Traveler.
No.
Oh,
no.
Well, I'm just saying that's what people tend to say about it. It's like the story's terrible.
Story sucks. Yeah, I just fell off that game real fast because of how bad the story was.
Yeah, well, that's me too.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Final game notes. Speaking of good stories, I finished Superliminal for the first time, and the rest of the game I really enjoyed. If you all aren't familiar, Superliminal has a really cool run that Osmorn does, but it's a just beautiful game about being in a dream space and you trying to go through this study, but accidentally getting pulled further and further down. So everything in these puzzles doesn't quite work with regular logic.
Yeah, I think it's like non-Euclidean physics or something.
Yeah, it's non-Euclidean physics, exactly.
Yeah, so when things get bigger, they like get closer to you, they also get bigger actually, instead of like just looking bigger, that kind of thing.
It's all a matter of perspective. Exactly. Yeah. And the mechanics I thought were fun. Some of the lines were very quippy, like Portal or Stanley Parable. And then the final monologue comes in and just hit every single one of my heartstrings and what I needed to hear at that moment, and just tears. So there we go. There's my final thought.
One last thing from me. If you just pull open the side chat here.
It's I'm sorry, it's too large of a file to make an emoji, so just in case you were wondering.
I'll make you a poster size version of this. God. That's all I got. I'm sorry. It's so funny to me.
Let's have fun. So here's what I would say to anyone at home who has not seen Jaxler's SGDQ 2023 run. Highly, highly, highly recommend looking at it. We'll make sure to add the link in the comments or in the description. But otherwise, we will be watching the Any% console world record by Jaxler in 38 minutes and 17 seconds for Neopets, The Darkest Fairy on PlayStation 2. So what we're going to do from this point is take a break. We are going to watch the run. If you are one of our patrons, thank you so much for contributing. You'll be able to listen to that commentary. But when we come back, we will give our breakdown and thoughts of Neopets The Darkest Fairy. See you there. I feel like on a warm day like today, what's more fun than playing fetch with your Neopets and with your favorite patrons who hang out with us on patreon.com/possiblybad?
We could play fetch with our favorite Neopets?
Yes.
We could play fetch with our favorite patrons?
We could play fetch with our favorite patrons.
Even Centaur Daddy?
Oh, if Centaur Daddy's involved, I will be there.
I want to play fetch with Centaur Daddy.
Yes.
Forearms, think of all the fetch you could play.
Come join us for all the fetch you can play, along with so many other wonderful benefits, such as being a part of our watch parties that we have in the Discord, as well as being one of our incredible executive producers and so much more.
Our executive producers can get really great things, including a hug from me if you ever see me. I'll just give you a hug. So
But regular patrons, fuck you. No, you can't.
No way. Regular patrons don't get shit.
You gotta be an executive producer to get
5 feet, please.
I'll wave. How about that?
Our executive producers, thank you so much for subscribing at that $10 tier. They are Brian Ward, Lisa Slack, Zio Delup, Ethan King, Professor Hal, Mildew Zero, Hypixion, Lossian Laponis, and Cassandra Lenhart. So thank you all so much for being EPs of the show.
And
you allow us to keep doing this. We really appreciate it.
And unlike our Neopets, we will not let you starve for content at any point. We promise.
We'll never forget the password to you.
There will be no 10-year episode breaks. Speaking of babies
and baby goats.
I can't wait for like if Brad ever has a kid.
No one's gonna believe it.
So speaking of Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Speaking of Elden Ring. Mm-hmm. I got my own little Elden Lord brewing.
I have my own dung maker.
All right. Let's go talk about Darkest Fairy.
Hey, that was a game.
Yeah.
That was a game. Hi, everyone. We're back, and we really hope you enjoyed watching the Neopets the Dorcas Fairy run by Jaxler. I don't know about you all. I had a lovely time with that run. I do have some thoughts about it, but I want to get thoughts from the circle first, since I had already seen some parts of it before. So what was the overall vibe of the room?
Yeah, I'm curious to hear from the other two first.
Mm-hmm. Joy, general joy, happiness, fast animals, wonky cutscenes. It was a very fun run. It seemed, for the most part, fairly straightforward. We didn't understand everything that was happening, but Tormundellus, our main character, is a very fast Lupe farm boy, a little looper, Lonk. We don't know why he was fast, but he was. And then all of a sudden, you were a Twi'lek named Roberta, and I was into that too. Beautiful game. Wow, the cutscenes. For what we saw, I was blown away. I've never seen such a PlayStation 1 game on a PS2.
Now, you were saying Twi'lek as in the Star Wars characters, right?
I don't know all of my Neopets.
Whereas I was thinking as a Tweely, because it seemed like we were in a dark world version, and that's like the Twilight Princess dark world people are like Tweely. So Ashoka. I thought we were talking about the same thing, but we've come together.
I have contributed.
Considering most of the splits in this run, or at least half of them, were Legend of Zelda references, like Ganon and Hyrule Castle. Very clearly, the game knew what it was doing with the references, or at least it's a joke with the speedrun community, too.
Or it's very blatant on the game's case. I've never heard of this game, and I used to be on the number one Zelda-like podcast on the internet, so I'm very surprised.
But the biggest plot twist came right at the end of the run!
Should we get that out of the way first?
Yes!
The biggest plot twist that this game was made by Sony Santa Monica, also known as the developers of God of War and God of War Ragnarok.
Which are masterpieces! And this game, I with how PS1 the graphics looked, I would not have anticipated it at all, but look how far they've come.
Game of the Year winning studio. Also made Neopets Darkest Fear.
The Wikipedia page says that Idle Minds developed it and Sony Santa Monica published it.
Okay.
The credits did not present it that way.
No, they just put Sony Santa Monica up at the top.
Yes. Multiple times they put it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you did hear our commentary at the very end, we said some grandiose shit. So
Idle Minds, they did make Cool Borders 3 for Cool Borders 2001, My Street, Pain for the PlayStation 3. Pain was their next game, which, that looks horrifying. look up Pain if you're bored. Madagascar, Ratchet and Clank Collection. And then they did the Life is Strange games. They became a new studio and made Life is Strange.
I love Life is Strange.
Wow.
Maybe it's just the ports.
I knew I've heard of Idle Minds before, and maybe I figured it was from the Ratchet and Clank remaster stuff, but maybe it was Life is Strange, unless they were just doing the ports of those.
No, it looks like they developed the original Life is Strange. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
That's amazing. Cool. Okay.
So Payne, this guy is Chuck Taylor's. He has this tank top. He got like a kind of a Chad hairstyle, I'd call it. A very exciting looking game. I don't know what it's about. Sorry, this is about Neopets. I'm very curious about Payne. What a name.
To get back to Neopets.
Yes. Please.
I would say, like, so we always like to talk about these runs that we watch from a perspective of kind of like watchability, right? Like how watchable was it? How much was I entertained? How much enjoyment did I get out of it? Especially if you're somebody who's never seen it before, or maybe you have played the game, but you've not seen the run, that kind of thing. For me, this was not on the higher end.
Okay.
I think like I was, and maybe part of it is expectations, but I don't think it's really all that. I was expecting some more kind of like wonky movement tech, something going on more than running. A lot of the game was just running and running out of bounds in particular, where there's not even really a lot to do. You just run in a straight line. Now, I have full belief, as I've said with any time that I've talked about not like super loving a game from a watchability standpoint. Full belief that there's still tons of this game that's very hard to do in a speedrun. All of those out of bounds were probably very difficult. The way Jaxler was popping off, I could tell that immediately.
At least for a few of them. Some more than others.
Sometimes there's tricks where it looks like it's not that tough, but it's really tough to stick those landings. And every time they went out of bounds, it looked like they didn't have to do anything. They could just walk right out or fall right through. But there's definitely a lot more going on that.
Well, and like a couple times it looked like it might have been more precise, might have been more difficult or what have you. But even then, the end result is, wow, cool. And now we're going to run out of bounds for 3 minutes straight.
It seemed to be the trade off on those harder ones was, well, I could do it right here. It might be more of a pain in the ass, but it would save time from me running 10 seconds away to somewhere where it'd be much easier to do.
Sure. And there was also like a lot of the run was like easy-ish to follow, but then some of it was hard to like tell. How are they moving that fast? Is that just the base game like enhanced motion from some kind of consumable, or are they like doing some kind of trick? Are they doing, what are they doing here? Are they going around a cutscene trigger, or are they just like, are they just getting back in bounds because that's where the line takes them? It was a little hard to tell.
There was a lot of debate while we were watching that of us theory crafting, trying to figure out what was going on there.
And that's what where I'm going to disagree with you a little bit is that, like, maybe this is one of those speedruns that you watch with other people, because there was like, you know, it was kind of easy to tell, but there was a lot of like there was a lot of guessing that could be done. And if you know, especially if you know what you're, you know, like us, we know kind of what we're looking for. And so we were making a bunch of different guesses based on stuff.
Yeah, I
and
did. So enjoy that
was kind of fun.
That part is fun, but if I were to just, I try to put myself kind of in the shoes of like if I were just watching this solo, I'd be like, I get a little bit of that guesswork, but at the same time, I don't have any, like when we watched The Grinch.
I was getting Grinch vibes from this. Yeah.
We made some guesswork, and then we were able to, by the end of the run, most likely confirm our like guesses, right? Whereas by the end of this, I still didn't feel like I had any kinds of confirmations to my guesses. Outside of maybe a couple of spots where it was like, oh, they were totally going around a cutscene trigger there or a combat trigger or something, right?
Yeah. This maybe is a group watch.
Yeah, and I think for
you're not going to get your answers. It's unsolved mysteries.
It was just that like a lot of it was, it looked like there was a few cool mechanics that they could use to break the game wide open, but then the moment-to-moment gameplay as a result of that was quite a bit of running in a straight line out of bounds.
I do second you. This was one that I remember seeing a section where one of those runs pops up and the backwards flying through the air on the sword and a few things kind of in succession. When I had heard the hype about the run, and that was the part I saw, and I could see the enthusiasm of the couch popping off, that like 10-minute span that I watched was amazing. But
I forgot about the zip line thing.
Yeah. So like, I think that this is a run, and tell me if you would agree with me or disagree with me, Hobbs. I feel like it would benefit much more from having the commentary. So the world record is fun, but I feel like this is one that having those blank spaces, it would be perfect for marathon pacing of during those stretches. That's when you're talking about the next things that are coming up. So when people see them, they understand getting in donations.
Is this the perfectly paced run?
Exactly.
For that reason, you'd say?
I definitely think it would help, but I also in my head can hear like, awesome, he got it. So we're going to be running here for a little bit, so we're going to kick it over for some donations. Like, I can hear that in my head.
It did start to get long in the tooth, like, towards the middle, where it's like, okay, we're just running again. Like
here's
we did have the character switch over, which was cool, but...
If this run is almost identical and it's 10 minutes long, it's, like, it's really cool. It's very astounding, because you, like, can't run out of bounds for that long, because the game's only 10 minutes long, right? But, like... it's not like it's a long run. It's like 38 minutes or whatever it was. You know, in the 30s. It's not like it's long. It is a good length for a run overall, I think, for a watchable
one. Like it overstayed its welcome.
Yeah, exactly. There weren't
maybe that. I wouldn't call 10 minutes. 10 minutes is a little short. I don't know.
Maybe. But my point is like the moments, like you said, Ruby, like the moments where we're seeing that like backwards ziplining going on. That's really interesting and cool. And like, we can sit there and go like, wow, how long is this going to go on? Why are they doing this? Do they need the height? Do they need the distance? Are they going over a gap? Like, we can start to make all these theories, and then eventually they're going to fall out of bounds and run for a bit. And that's the, and especially by the end of it, it felt like they were so powerful from like a Mun duplication glitch that like, it's hard to tell.
Forgot about that too.
Yeah. It's hard to tell like when the combat's happening, what is the difficult part of this combat, right? Like, because the boss goes down in three hits. Narfis, our Lord and Savior,
Narfis. You know,
he goes down in three hits.
Long may he die in three hits.
Right. But Jaxo,
somebody feed that Narfis. It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
But Jaxo made it clear, like, that was a difficult thing, right? But it's not the kind of difficult thing that's, like, easy to kind of grok.
Yeah.
And then later on, we get a boss.
Yeah.
Yeah, where the sisters, where they're just all standing still. So it's, like, setting that up is neat, but then the payoff, I think that's the big thing, is like the setup in this run is very cool. Like every bit of setup is quite cool, but the payoff is not there, where the payoff's too long of like of and a little monotonous, whereas like,
or it's the, very the like setup parts simple are so some things are flashy, but overall like it's a few things kind of repeating or not as flashy, mm-hmm. of tricks.
Yeah,
it's got a Donkey Kong Country 2 thing to it, to where like, except that like at least that has like a big payoff, or no, it doesn't, because sometimes you're just kicked out of the level. I don't know. It feels like there's a long setup to something that just doesn't have a pop to it.
Yeah, to give context of like for people, because that's an old episode at this point. Like for anybody who didn't watch, that was, I think, Donkey Kong Country 2. Spike brought that in as like, hey, mm-hmm. let's watch this one. And I think that was the first run we watched where we were all we're like, we watched it and we're like, I don't think we're like, all on board with this one.
Yeah,
like from a watchability.
We had
conflicts. Again, we're just talking for watchability here. We're not talking about like the person playing it, right? Like, mm-hmm. or anything
two and
like
a half
that.
Years ago,
or the skill involved yeah. behind the run, because good god, we know that yeah. there is a lot there's, behind this. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
always that kind of thing. So like,
it's like, I'm sure if you know a bunch, it is cooler. Those setups are cooler, like what mm-hmm. they have to go, you know, to go through to do it. It looked like, yeah, each one was different.
I hear what all y'all are saying. You're all wrong. This run is amazing.
Okay.
I'm glad you loved it. Like,
no. It's not even from like this what I'm taking out of it for speedrunning. We were talking about like the charm of this era of games of like mm-hmm. PS2 mascot platformers. And if this was, you know, a Donkey Kong Country, it would be less interesting to me, because instead I get to have 38 minutes, which is just enough for me to see the entire world of this game, mm-hmm. all the characters. I wish I could get some of these cutscenes, but
right?
I will never watch Neopets again. But watching it one time, I'm super happy I saw Torment Ellis. I'm super happy I saw our Lord and Savior. And it had just enough speed running to get me to kind of get a feel for this whole like era of like this kind of a game. And sometimes I just want to know about a game, not to get speed running value out of it, but to just, you know, see the world or see these characters, mm-hmm. see how something is built. And yeah, speedrunning wise, it wasn't the most exciting, but it speed ran enough for me to see the cool bosses, you know?
Sure.
That's awesome.
I do want to make clear, I think 38 minutes is basically like the perfect like length from a watchability standpoint for a speedrun, I feel like. Because like too short, or not just watchability, but just like for a speedrun. Because like too short, it's very watchable, but it also becomes harder for the runner. Like if I got to repeat a 15-minute speedrun all the time, I'm going to be resetting constantly because I got to care about every like half second mistake, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. But a 38-minute run, like there's just enough time there where I can lose a couple seconds here and there and it's not that big a deal. But it's not so long that I feel like it's going to be a massive time investment for me to check this out if it's new to me. So mm-hmm. to me, that is like a kind of sweet spot in running. Always that 30 to 40 minute range has always been that for me.
Yeah, I guess I was just excited to see the game. I took less out of it from a speedrunning perspective, but it's any chance to see a game I've never heard of is kind of exciting.
Yeah, I will say that the Neopets nostalgia definitely hit me. And there were points where I was like, there's an Alira and there's a Psybunny character yeah. and there's a this and there's a that, and got very excited about is seeing some of these things weirdly anthropomorphized, but
I swear they've all escaped my brain. I don't remember.
I already forgot our Lord and Savior's name. I forgot his name again.
Narfis.
Narfis. I'm going to forget that immediately.
And then there was the Ixie Lieutenant.
Yeah, Ixie's Clop Daddy.
Ixie Centaur Daddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ixie Centaur Daddy.
Yeah. Narfis. You know, the official Narfis. Centaur Daddy, the Neopets mascot, right? Yeah.
Oh. Or as I called him, a four-legged goat.
So you mean a goat?
Yeah, I guess.
That goat got four legs?
That goat has four legs. Holy shit.
Yeah, this is one I will definitely say I'm not inspired to like go and run this game myself or anything like that. But I definitely want to go back and watch a run specifically with Jaxler breaking it down. Because I'm kind of left on the hook, like you all were saying, of feeling like so many of those questions of how things function were not actually answered. So maybe with a marathon run or something, it will actually get explained.
This game, like, this game inspires me to go back and watch a Pumpkin Jack run from Jaxler, or to watch, like, Samurai Jack Battle Through Time, I think was the name of it.
Okay.
From an old GDQ. I remember just stumbling across that one during, not an old GDQ, is from like one of the online ones, I think. That had what the kind of movement I was like kind of expecting out of this game. Yeah, AGDQ 2022 from A Flying Coconut. I just remember that one was more of like vertical ascension to like climb up this mountain in ways that they wouldn't have expected you to then get around this combat trigger or get around like this cutscene trigger or what have you. And that's, I think, more what I tend to expect out of PS2 era 3D platformers and 3D action like combat games, is that kind of thing in my speedrunning, and not as much of just like this game ended up not being vertical like at all. Right. Like it was very horizontal. You just kind of clip out of bounds and then
you only go down under the map. Was the only verticality. Yeah,
exactly.
Right, and underneath the island.
When you have to do a little bit, you got to move in the 3D space instead of somewhat of a kind of a 2D space almost.
That makes total sense.
I want to play this game, actually.
Yeah.
Because like not like run it or anything. Like I need to play this as a Zelda like. And see it from that, because yeah, did not know that there are so many action adventure games from this era that aren't like actually Zelda likes, but they're totally cribbing from that. Maybe a little more collectible-y, but God knows what this game's actually like. There's just a bunch of Zelda references in the split, so I have to check it out somehow.
If you do, please report back.
Yeah,
it looked like on the chart the main two ways that people speedrun it are on the actual PS2 console or on emulator. So they're,
yeah,
there are ways to access.
I will just buy a shitload of Honey Nut Cheerios boxes and I'm sure it'll be in one of them.
Amazing.
Send your UPCs.
yeah send it in my box tops and
yep.
Getting Neopets, the Darkest Fairy.
Get Chex Warrior.
Mm-hmm. Gosh.
Tempest 2000.
Now I feel like this week I'm going to want to go back and play a bunch of old nostalgia games for PS2, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Haven, Call of the King, Rygar, the Legendary Adventure.
Sly Cooper and the Thievius Raccoonus for me.
I mean, that's a good game. That's just a good one.
I guess I just didn't realize how much I missed garbage Zelda-like games in my life.
I tell you, this one really just makes me want to go back and watch Samurai Jack Battle Through Time from HGQ 2022. Like, okay. I don't know what it is. I just remember tuning into that randomly and being like, this is a fucking cool run. And that's what I was hoping to get out of this one. It just didn't quite scratch that itch for me.
I don't feel like I learned anything about raising a pet in this entire game, though. Oh, and God, that's no. disappointing.
Other than that, you should keep them 70% below any sea level.
You know? Keep your pets under the house.
Yeah. I learned a lot about lowering pets.
I have to say, what better way to adapt a website about, you know, having a friend and then playing mini games rather than making something Pokemon like? No, making it Legend of Zelda, Ratchet and Clank. That seems like a good translation of the original source material. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I. I really enjoyed watching that run. I am curious to look up more and actually read the synopsis of this game to understand what's going on. So thank you all so much for joining us on this journey. And check out Neopets the Darkest Fairy. Let us know if you figure out anything about the run, if there's something cool that you figured out that we didn't notice. We would love to know more.
Tell us why we're bad at this.
Yes.
It's really great.
You're so
It's constructive. It helps us get better.
And if you need friends, I'm just going to end that sentence there. And if you need friends, maybe join the Discord by going to patreon.com/possiblybad and subscribe.
If you need friends, come to our Patreon.
We also have free trials. We have a Discord there that you can join where we do monthly watch parties of various speedruns, and patrons get first dibs on the suggestions. So if you've got a game that you really want to share with a bunch of other people, or a run you've just always been interested about, but that you think that maybe you'd get more out of it if you watch it with some other speedrunners, NFSR hosts, and friends, then, patreon.com/possiblybad. Check it out, join the Discord, and join one of those watch parties.
And most Sundays, you'll find me at the Church of Narfis. I go to the 8 a.m. service.
Amazing.
Oh, I can't make it that early. I feel bad, but I go to contemporary Narfis.
You go to modern Narfis.
The modern Narfis.
It's service? Way more hip.
They got the acoustic guitar, and it really just does it for me, man.
The Narfis skateboards at my church.
Meanwhile, yeah. I was more of a fan of like the retreats that we do in youth groups. So on most Sundays, you can find me doing a backward zip line with my
with sword Narfis.
Oh yeah, up in the with air. Narfis.
Narfis is usually there, but more in my heart than anything.
I like it when the youth Narfis group leaves the drums just lying around, so you can just go up and play the drums no one's looking.
That is how I got addicted to playing the drums. Like that's how I became a drummer.
God, so many memories at Narfis.
I like going hiking with the youth group to see the Ixy Centaur Daddy, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Narfis that I should go say hi to, yeah.
Out in the forest.
Luigi, I bought my first drum set from somebody in youth Narfis group.
Did they have a stupid wall that went all the way around it?
Well,
like, do you want this wall? I'm like, no.
They didn't have the wall thing. I don't
know. Narfis, Mary, and Joseph, guys, come on.
Narfis, Mary, and Joseph.
We've got off the rails. Ruby, take us home.
Listen, when you're not worshiping our Lord and Savior Narfis, Brad, where can people find you?
There's never a time I'm not worshiping our Lord and Savior Narfis, that's not applicable to me. But if you wanted to find me while I'm worshiping Narfis, you can find me at Hair of the Dogcast. It's a podcast about Narfising and video games and beer and Elden Ring and movies and Narfis and everything in between, all of that. Hair of the Dogcast, check it out. You're great. Narfis, bless you.
Amazing. All right, Narfis, bless you. Hobbs, where can people find you when you're not in worship?
Twitch.tv/jhobbs296 or Google jhobbs, J-H-O-B-Z, and I think you should be able to find me, hopefully. I'm doing Cage 2 Rando League right now. Hopefully I'm not out of the tournament by the time this comes out. Woo-hoo, very possible.
Narfis willing.
So we'll Narfis willing, I'll be moving on through the loser's bracket and try to head back up to the winner's side. But yeah, check me out there. And I don't know, my stream times have been weird lately. So just join the Patreon, join the Discord.
Amazing.
That'll be the best way to keep updated on me.
Heck yeah. My sister in Narfis, Luigi's apartment. How's it going?
Thank you so much. Oh, it's great on this. You know, Narfis blessed this very day. I've actually gone over and done some episodes on Remember 64 recently. We did a Star Fox 64 episode not too long ago, which I don't know. That game's great. Every time I play it, I'm like, oh yeah, this is like one of the best games ever, isn't it? I forgot about that. So go check that out. We had a good time. Talking about Star Fox. And check out our Patreon at patreon.com/possiblybad.
Yeah.
Do it. Hooray.
Write a review.
Yeah, write a review of our show. Please, rate and review. That actually does help.
That'll Tell your nice. Friend that the $5 tier costs $6 and trick them into subscribing.
Yeah, and they have to give you the $6. Also, seriously, I don't think anyone's written a review for our show in like 2 years.
I don't know why the gods of chaos suddenly decided to ask people to
Narfis,
for our Patreon, which we wouldn't do. Narfis, bless you and keep you. And when I'm not here, you can find me at twitch.tv/RubyHeart. I am a actor, streamer, and speedrunner. I do anything from Boss Rush video games to challenge runs of things like Tunic and Overcooked, etc. It's a good time, and I've been way too obsessed with making pearlers recently. So that's my...
There's some great pearlers. I can't wait for everyone to see it.
All for our Lord and Savior, Narfis.
Can you make a Narfis pearler?
I'm sure I can. But also, how can you capture the incomparable majesty of Narfis?
Well, Brad, if I don't see you try on the thumbnail, I will consider it.
I already got the picture of Narfis lined up.
We're working on this.
If I don't see that picture of Narfis with a halo just above above his head, then
this is our first shirt, isn't it?
Our first shirt is just straight up copyright infringement. Narfis.
No.
It's a dead Narfis.
Who are we kidding? Neopet. Nobody owns the Neopets copyright anymore. Nobody cares.
I can confirm that I checked the website earlier today, and it is fully active, and you can sign up and make your own Neopet, and they have redone all the assets and art. All of them.
That's going to be the next episode. We're going to be like, so what have you all been up to? I've been playing Neopets. And then everybody's like, oh my god, you too? Join the possibly bad Neopets clan.
I mean, it's not that far off. I do have a weakness for Flash games. So,
yeah.
Let's not mess around too much.
Well, from all of us here who love our Neopets and totally wouldn't leave them starving, we love you. Have an amazing rest of your night. Play some amazing games and keep going fast. We'll see you next time.
We should have a new podcast called Need for Narfis.
Yes.
Need for Narfis.
I think this is the new format I want to use for the thumbnails, guys. Our foreheads at the bottom.
The new format?
Wait, let me see.
Well, it says we're always going to have two links now.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. I need to get you a new picture.
This is a brilliant point.
You've made a brilliant point.
Eventually, all four of us should be links for no reason.
I can make that happen.
That's not a fairy at all. That's not a Neopet.
I do like that Derpy Cyndaquil is just there on a Neopet thumbnail, implying that we think it's a Neopet.
Can we have Narfis on the other side? But
He'll be on there real quick.
Please.
Then like a four-legged goat, we're back.